the world we could ever thank you enough if we took every minute of our day and time to thank you what you've done for us. And we thank you so much to understand a little bit what we do know about you, your love and your care. And Lord, in time, you've given us the authority and also the instruction to contend for the faith. And I wonder how many of us, when we stand before God one day and we'll judge according to what we could have done and did not do, will come up short for that contending. Now, would you bless us together today? Lord, it's not been an easy week. I pray you'd give us a good service today and give us that which in turn is needed to help us leave this place feeling better than we came, being refreshed from the Word of God, and have a zeal to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn, if you will, to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Now, I'm going to read a few verses here, and while you're turning there, I think about the day we're living in. We're talking about truth this morning, and when we're dealing with truth, sometimes we have a, well, just depend what truth is to different people. I read an article where there's a young, two young boys living in the same neighborhood. One was a very bright boy. The other one was considered, they call him a half-wit. He had it together, but didn't seem to have it together. And one day they were down at the store, and the bright boy said to the boy who was a half-wit, and he didn't mind that. He had a good spirit about him when they called him a half-wit. And the bright boy said to him one day, "You know what? Let's play a game together." He said, "Well, I love to play games. What do you love to play?" He said, "Let's play this game." He said, "I'm going to give you a riddle." And he said, "It will work two ways. You give me a riddle, and if I can't answer it, I'll give you a dollar. Then I'll give you a riddle, and if you can't answer it, you give me a dollar." He said, "Now, let me see. If I give you a riddle and you can't answer, you're going to give me a dollar? And if I give you a riddle I'll get it mixed up in a minute, I reckon. If I give you a riddle and you can't answer it, I've got to give you... If you give me a riddle and I can't answer it, I got to give you a dollar. If I give you one, you can't answer, you got to give me a dollar." He said, "Right." He said, "Wait a minute." He said, "You know, you're a lot smarter than I am." He said, "Why would you do it that way?" He said, "I tell you, let's do this. You give me a riddle, and I'll give you a riddle, and if you can't answer it, you give me a riddle. And if I can't answer, give me a dollar." Right. "But you know more than I do, so let me ask this. I'll give you a riddle, and if you can't answer it, I'll give you a dollar. But if you give me one, and I can't answer, you ought to give me 50 cents, because you're a lot brighter than I am." And the fellow said, I'll do that with you. And the bright fellow said, "All right, I'm going to let you give the first one." He said, "Well, the riddle is simple this. What has four legs and two of them are standing right straight up on the back?" And the fellow thought. He said, "I can't answer that. Here's a dollar." He said, "Thank you." He said, "By the way, what does have four legs and two legs sticking on the back?" He said, "I don't know. Here's your 50 cents. Amen. Well, I know this. When we talk about truth, there's a lot of problems. And this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about truth. Father, we open this book again, and we ask that you bless our hearts together. And dear Lord, somehow or another, we'd learn something about our day. Lord, we're not put here just to accomplish things for ourselves only. We're put here in time, in the plan of God, that God would use us in time to do what he's doing through his people. I don't understand. Sometimes I wonder why in the world you chose to use your people, the church, in the age of grace. We look at what you did with Israel, and you used them in the Old Testament. And boy, they sure fell so many times. And yet, do so many things and seem like to us waste time at times on them, but yet we know with you it was not wasted. You were working everything out. So I pray you'd help us today with this message. And Jesus, we're going to give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want you to let's look with me in John chapter 8. And today is in a two-part message because I couldn't get it all in one part. And I want to take it slow, and I want to take it because I think this is something we need to understand this morning. And when you see when I give you the title, you know why. When I read the scriptures, I don't know about you, I do believe this is the Word of God. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, when I read the scriptures, when I read what God has sent through a prophet, I consider God speaking to my heart, speaking to that prophet. Only thing I ask God to help me understand in context where it fits at. A lot of things he said to Israel don't fit us, but it is learned for our learning. But when I come to the New Testament, I read and I see what Jesus has said, or I see someone in saying what Jesus said, I listen and I try to visualize my mind what if he'd be saying that to me if he was right there speaking. So when I read what Jesus said here today, I'm looking at if he was here, he'd be saying the same thing, because that's what we need to understand about him. So here in John chapter 8, let's start out with verse 32, but I want to give you a little background. In verse 24, he's made this statement. He said simply this, "Therefore unto you, I say therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sin." Now, they didn't understand that. I mean, they said, "Who are you? I can expect that. Who are you to be telling us this?" And we see that in verse 25. They said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he begins to tell who he is, and he comes down to verse 30, and he says this, "And as he spake these words, many believed on him." Now, I preached a message on verse 31 not too long ago, but I just made it for reference, and we'll move on. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." Now, many of them believed on him. And then he made this statement, and he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed." In other words, this thing of believing is not just something that's simple in the something from the head, but he said, if you truly believe in me, you'll continue my word. You know what it says? If you truly get saved, you're going to do what God says to do, at least most of the time. In other words, your lifestyle is going to change. The word of God will change. It don't mean that you're perfect in the flesh. You have a perfect creation in you, but your lifestyle is going to change. And he said this. He said that if you continue my word, and that's why we grow in grace and knowledge, he said, "Therefore, you're my disciples indeed." That means truly, confirmed. It means certainly. You are certainly a disciple of mine if you not only say you believe, but continue in my word. You know what God gives you, ladies and gentlemen, when we trust him as Savior, he gives us a hunger for this book. Because he lets us know and bear witness to our heart that without this book, we wouldn't know anything about him, not even the gospel. And then notice he said, "And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Verse 32, he said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, he said, "We belong to Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" In other words, I think I understand what they're saying. You cannot make someone free that's already free. And they thought they were already free. See, the genealogy record doesn't make you free in the sense of what Jesus is talking about here, because this is talking about a new birth, not the old physical birth that came from even back from Abraham's day. And what he said, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever." The servant is one who practices a lifestyle. And he said the servant of a person don't abide in a house like a son. He's living out in the servant's house. But the thing about this, we are children of God, and we're called bondservants. Working on a message. What a blessed message. There's a difference in a service and a bondservant. There's a difference in a servant and a bondservant. A bondservant is one who serves but don't have to, but they want to, because they have a relationship with him. But here he talks about this. He said, "The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever." It's the son whose life begins to practice that which shows he's part of the fold of God. And then he says, "So if the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And he said, "I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my words have no place in you." You're talking about a different thing in Abraham's seed than what I'm talking about here, because if you were the spiritual seed of Abraham that the Bible talks about, you would accept me, because Abraham did. He said, I speak that which I've seen with my father, and you do that which is with your father. The two fathers here. We know God, Jesus' father was God. Now, you know also who their father was. They practiced, their lifestyle was practicing the one saying one thing with their mouth with God, another thing they were following Satan, disobeying God. And then he said, "They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now as ye seek me to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." And Jesus said unto them, watch this. Now he's answered these questions point blank. And it means something when it comes to the lifestyle of a child of God. He said this. He said, "But ye do the deeds of your father." They said to them, we're born out of fornication. But Jesus said to them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and come from God, neither came I myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot understand my, cannot hear my word. In other words, if you were born into the child of God, you would hear the word of God when it comes to tell us what direction to take, when he deals with us. Instead of running from it and trying to develop a life in the flesh, we'd want to develop a life in the spirit. This Bible is full of how we can do that in the Lord's work. Then he said, ye are your father, the devil. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if I've ever called anybody that. But Jesus said, you are your father. I mean, he didn't do it behind the next block and behind their back. He was right in their face. He said, you are your father, the devil. You see why they try to kill him now, don't you? You either have to join him or try to get rid of him. In this case, he's speaking the truth. And then he says, and he said, he was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie of his own, he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convince me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Hear that now. And then I say the truth. Why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word, and therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. He said it just bears down to two things. You say you're God, but you're not. And your lifestyle proves that. And when you hear the word of God to straighten it, there's nothing done. Therefore, it proves the fruit is something that's not to be. Now, turn one another place quickly in John chapter 18. And here we see Jesus talking again. In John chapter 18, look down about verse 33. Here Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it thee? Pilate answered and said, am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom is of this world, then my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence. And Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king? To this end was I born? For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness in the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. I believe that. I say amen to that. I say praise God for that, because I believe that. Those who are God will hear God's voice. Because you have, if you're God, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And the Holy Spirit will bear record to our heart, God's voice. You will be able, you might be confused a little bit, but God will get you out of the maze to hear God's voice. And then he says simply this, Pilate says, what is truth? There's my title. What is truth? And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and he said to them, I find in him no fault at all. He's talking to the very essence of truth as far as God is concerned. And he asked Jesus, what is truth? And he goes out and said, hey, I don't find a bit of fault in this man. Of course, that made the Jews even worse trying to destroy him and what they said. I want to talk to you this morning. The first part, part one, what is truth? What is truth? Can we define it? Will we know it? We see it? When Jesus talked about being the way, the truth, and life, what is truth? Well, the dictionary tells us that truth is a quality of being in accordance with the actual reality of true facts. It's the agreement with a standard of accuracy. Someone said, you better be sure, you better beware of half-truth, you might get the wrong one. That's true. I don't believe in half-truth. It's either truth or it's not. Half-truth, who's going to decide which is which? That's the reason I don't believe this Bible is partially inspired. Amen. You heard me say hundreds of times, I'm sure if you've been here a number of years from me, if it's partially inspired, I don't have the ability to tell which one is inspired and which is not. It's either got to all be inspired and I'm going to follow it, or if it's not, I'm going to quit. I'm going to resign this morning. I believe it's all the inspired word of God. Amen. So therefore, when I read in it, I understand there's something God wants me, and I read it as God is speaking to me about my life, about where I want to be doing, about what I want to stand, apply today. And when I see Jesus speaking, I believe he's speaking for my understanding as much so as these people at this time. So what is this thing of truth? What is truth? A man was begging on the street one day. The guy went by and looked at him, and he said, sir, I want you to tell me the truth. He said, if you tell me the truth, what I'm fixing to ask you, he said, I'll give you some money. And the guy said, well, what do you mean? I mean, if you tell me the truth. He said, well, I'll tell you the truth. I don't mind. He said, why are you begging? And the guy looked at him. He said, Well, you said, tell you the truth. I stand here and beg so I can buy booze. And that guy said, you're honest, aren't you? He said, well, you asked me to tell you the truth. He said, well, why are you drinking booze? He said, so I can get the courage to ask to beg. Amen. It doesn't matter when it comes to what a person's doing. Truth don't really mean any much to them unless it affects them somehow or another. So here in this particular time, we see something. Today, listen, absolute truth is under attack. It's been attacked a lot of ways. I'm going to I believe it all in my heart. If a person gets on in the media and talks about who Christians are and don't know who they are and what Jesus is and don't know who he is, I have a right to stand and defend it. Amen. And I'm going to do that this morning. And I'm probably going to, I don't know where I'll be at next week, but I'm going to do it this morning. I understand. Today, absolute truth is under attack. Society has become a pluralistic society, and that truth is now seen to be relative. In other words, people say truth don't mean the same to everybody. Well, it's not truth. Truth will mean the same to everybody, folks. Listen, truth, they say you have your truth and I have my truth. I believe what I believe is truth. You believe what yours proof is truth, and it's in complete opposite of each other. What might be truth to you may not be truth to me. Well, the question I have is this. Is this the way things really are, or is it just wishful thinking on the part of people who do not want to admit that God and the Bible are true and he has a right to tell us what it is? And I say it's that. It's not that it's what's in one eye's beholder. God's not going to tell us an error. He'll show us where people do err, but he always tells us the truth. This book is a book of truth. Now, when Jesus stood before Pilate here this time in John chapter 8, Pilate demonstrated, I believe, his lack of knowledge concerning truth. He heard all that Jesus said. Jesus was talking nothing but truth to him. And he ends up saying, well, what is truth? You know why? Because it didn't line up with what he thought it should be. And so here he is asking the epitome of truth, what truth is. Absolute truth is found in the Bible. The Bible teaches us in John chapter 17, very forcefully, when Jesus said this, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. If you look in Psalms 119, that's John 17:17. If you look in Psalms 119, and over about verse 160, here's what the psalmist said. He said, thy word is true from the beginning. Even when God was back there, he said, before he ever made anything, God's word was true. And then he said, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. If God's word is true, then I can depend upon that. And that's the reason why I would expect the Apostle Paul to tell the church at Rome, in Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. If it comes out that someone is saying that God has lied already, a verse I've learned many years ago, Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. And therefore, if it comes out that man is seen to be telling the truth and God is a lie, you can mark it down. God does not lie. He's the one who's lying. Amen. Now, when I look at this book, it keeps us understanding these things. Now, I want to go back. Someone gave me an article of a person that was taken from a magazine, which I don't care one thing about that mag, believe me. But the magazine article they did, this was taken out of that from someone off a website to give to me. And here it was, Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. He told a newsman that organized religion is a sham and a church for weak-minded people who needed strength in numbers. He said it tells people to go out and stick their nose in other people's business. And he said, I live by the golden rule. Treat others as you want them to treat you. Isn't it amazing? He's talking about what we are, and he's claiming he's something. He's claiming the Bible. That, you know, that's where he got it from, the Bible. And he wasn't even doing what the Bible said, but he's quoting that. Sounded good. He said the religious rights want to tell people how to live. He went on, and I quote, and he said that he considers himself to be a Christian and that he believes that Jesus Christ is the Savior, but no, he didn't say he believes is his Savior. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. You see how this flavor to get someone's attention about who he is? You better listen to every word because there's a lot of false doctrine going on out there today. And he goes on. He said, I don't necessarily believe. Now, after he said he believed that Jesus Christ was Savior, he said, and I quote, I don't necessarily believe that I need a church to go to. I don't need my, he said, my religious belief can be by a lake. They can be on a hill. They can be in the solitude of my own office, and I believe that there is no set example what people believe should be. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he don't know much about the scriptures. Listen, if you look with me, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. You remember what verse 16 is? It says, all scripture are given by inspiration of God. Why? He just give it to us that? He said, no. He said, it's profitable for doctrine. That's teaching. That's where we get our instruction. It's profitable for reproof. That is reproving someone who's wrong. It's profitable for correction. That means setting someone straight who's not going the straight and narrow way. He says it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May not be no necessary change needed and to some degree till you learn, but I guarantee you there's not a one of us that when we get saved, start learning and having knowledge, which cometh by faith in the Word of God, that we find ourselves, there's changes that take place at that particular time. Now the question is this. Now I'm going to ask this and give you some quick thoughts. Does Ventura hold the truth about religious activities and religious people? Now, since the Bible is our standard, let's put these his remarks alongside of God's Word and see if he is telling the truth or is the Bible telling the truth. I think that's worthwhile to do. If a person get on national news and do that and be interviewed by national papers and make statements like that about Christians, why can't we as Christians say what we are? Amen. Thank you. Somebody's with me anyhow. 3 points quickly. Number one is simply this. What is the truth about religion? Now, he said that organized religion is a sham. Now, I'll agree that much that goes on in the religious circle today is nothing more than money rackets that is built on personalities and not on the Word of God. I'll agree with that, but that don't mean that God's people are that way. Don't mean that. I mean, Ventura's remarks were directed against the religious right. This is God's people who want to do things that pleases God. God's people. I believe if you're saved, it's one thing you want to do. You may not do it all the time, but you want to please God. It's there. It's in our heart. You find yourself facing things sometime and thank God that you have tried to please him because of what you have to face. And I thank the Lord that he can give us comfort in that. I do not believe that what we are doing is a sham. Do you? I don't believe what I'm doing. I know a lot of folks say just listen to a person preach and waste your time. But I don't believe if I'm speaking truth, then truth will do something to your heart and my heart. Sham means there's a trick that dilutes and cheats and falsifies and there's hypocrisy. I also agree that religion has never saved one single soul. I agree also that religion has never made anyone holy or right with God. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When you look in Titus chapter 3, he talks not by works of righteousness which we've done. He goes on and tells us how it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christianity is a living faith. It's not a lying religion. Amen. It's a living faith. You may put it in the category of religion, but it's a life. It is not, anybody can have religion, but you got to be born again to have Christian faith. Amen. We do not encourage people to join our fellowship and follow us. We don't invite people to come and follow us and leave Jesus Christ out. What we are trying are to encourage people to put their faith in Jesus Christ and then learn where God would have them to serve him. Because if we're preaching this book, they'll become hunger for the Word of God. And it's going to come to, they're going to go where they can be fed. If they just made a false belief, they're going to look for anything else to satisfy the flesh. You've got to keep in mind, this book will not satisfy the flesh all the time. It won't do it. It'll cut grain to the flesh. Because God is instructing us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And he tells us that's what he wants us to do this side of eternity. Biblical Christianity is about faith. We don't encourage people to join us as far as just joining the church. We'd like to have everybody. But we want them to be born again. We encourage you to get saved. And then we say, hey, if you're saved and been born again, let us baptize. We'd love to have you in our church. We believe what we're doing is for God. We have a vision to try to reach people for Christ, no matter who they are, no matter what background. I don't care if they're poor. I don't care if they're rich. I don't care who they are. God loves them all. Amen. Maybe somebody here is listening to my radio right now, and you're in a valley, and your family, I just think about where alcohol and things like that last night, what went on, and you think nobody cares at all. But God cares. God cares. I don't care who they are, God cares. I don't care how far you're in sin, God cares. I don't care how good you think you are, God cares. That's the reason it's open to the whole world. So Christianity is to live in faith and not a religion. And yet on the other hand, God never gives us encouragement to approve of that which is wrong. Sometimes you have to make some hard decisions. And when you do, if it's biblical, don't let Satan trick you up on it. Because you have to make those decisions that God may be honored and let people know that there is a straight and narrow way. We do not want you to get just religion today. We want you to get salvation. We want you to be sure that you're saved by the grace of God. Jesus said in John 3, ye must be born again. He didn't say you must join a church. He says you must be born again. Then he says the church is there for you to join so you can grow thereby. And you come into the church, the body of Christ. Number two, what is the truth about believers then? That's what truth is about religion. What is the truth about believers? Ventura said that organized religion is a crutch for weak-minded people who needed strength and numbers. That's not true. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. God is stronger than the 7 billion people on this face of the earth at one time. He's more powerful than all the human beings lived on this earth. And as God teaches us, there's wisdom in knowing Him. It is true that we are born in sin. It is true we cannot save ourselves. It is true that we cannot get to God on our own. It is true we need someone else greater than we are. Are we weak-minded because of that? No, to the believer, Christ is the wisdom. Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Christ is our everything. Without Him, we're nothing. With Him, we are children of God, born into the family of God, washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ Himself said He's not ashamed to call us brethren. I'm talking about what the truth is about believers. I believe that trusting Jesus Christ as Savior is the smartest, wisest thing that a man can ever do. Oh, you don't believe that? Well, we sure don't need to have just a place to come and sit every Sunday morning. Proverbs 1:7 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. And that's trusting Him. Also in Psalms 111:10, he said the fear of the Lord is also, or Proverbs 1:7 said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And Psalms 111 verse 10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So our wisdom and knowledge first comes from God. And of course, knowledge is learning about Him. Wisdom is just telling us how we can place knowledge correctly in what we're doing. So am I weak-minded because I do not want to go to hell when I die? Am I weak-minded to believe there's a heaven that's trying to get me out of this mess in this world? Not according to the Word of God. No, I can say this. They can call me weak-minded, but listen, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this as easy as I can. Stupidity is knowing that Jesus loves you enough to come and die and be raised for you, and yet you still will not come to Christ. Man, that's stupidity. That God would do that, the great God who made all of this, loved someone on the planet Earth that He put in His image, that failed Him, did everything against Him, disobeyed Him, and yet He will love them enough to do what He did, send His precious jewel from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and die that we might have life, and then for a person to trample the blood of Christ, that's dangerous ground. That's dangerous ground. The weak-minded is people like Ventura, who willingly close their eyes to God's truth about salvation and rejecting it. Are we cowards and need strength in numbers? Look at the Fox Book of Martyrs. They were by themselves, and they died for the cause of Christ. The bravest people are those who would come to an old-fashioned altar, fall on their knees, don't care who's around, don't care any who would laugh or mock, and call out to God to have mercy upon them. Amen. I'm telling you, they are great people to do that. Because they're saying, I recognize there's no one can help me but God Himself. When I see this, any coward can try to hide his condition. But it takes a brave person to admit that they need Jesus Christ as Savior. So it is wise to believe the record that God gave to His Son. It is wise. If you listen by radio in a few minutes, if you listen to Upstream. Or here, it is wise to believe God and his record that he gave of his son. And you can read as good as I can if you read anything in English language. Then I see number three, then what is the truth about witnessing? First two, the Bible sets forth truth and it makes Ventura wrong. He may think it's right, but it's wrong. The third thing is, what is the truth about witnessing? Should we be out in this world reaching out to those around us? He calls this sticking our nose in other people's business. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to say, we must obey God rather than man. Now, the laws of our land can stop us from doing a lot of things, but it can't stop us from doing everything. They'd have to make a lot of laws to stop us doing that. We'll find a way somehow or another. You know, even God's churches in places where they try to destroy rise up somewhere else, don't they? You know why? God has a boldness in God's people because the only thing they do, they're not using arsenal, they're not using weapons, they're using the Word of God. That's all. And it's amazing what that'll do in people's hearts. And so, the truth about witnessing. I mean, in Matthew 28, we're told to go, and then we see in Acts 5:29, the apostle said, we must obey God rather than man. Now, if God's people love God, hear me, if God's people really love God, they have no option but to go and tell others about who God's son is, because he gave it to the church. He gave it to us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our duty that we obey him in this field. In Romans chapter 10, he gives us a kind of, in verse 13, he talks about whosoever is called upon the name of Lord shall be saved. But if you look with me, he also, as he starts down, when he says that in verse 13, he said, how then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Preacher is one that's sent. Anyone, God give the message of the gospel to us all. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as is written? How beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, this is not sticking our nose in other people's business. This is asking people, give us a little time, let us tell you about one who loves you so much. We care nothing about your business. Somebody said, well, it sounds like you're trying to get your business in. We don't want your business. But it's what we're saying to the world. We don't want your business. We want you to know someone that will help you when your business is gone. We want you when you won't be here to handle your business. He goes on, he said, as he tells this, he says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, but Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Isaiah said, we're having the same problem they're having in Paul's day. Paul's had the same problem we're having today. People said the same thing, same Satan. He didn't change. He just used sackness in different people. And then he says, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went out on the earth, and their words into the ends of the earth world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I provoke you to jealousy by them that are people, that are no people, and by a foolish nation, I will anger you. I'll bring nations in that were worse than you are to be a chastening rod to you. Then he said, Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. And to Israel, he said, all day long I've stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient, gainsaying people. He said to Israel, I've stretched forth and sent prophet after prophet to you, and yet you're still gaining. By the way, I believe God is stretching his hand out to America. The voice may be small, but it's there. It's been put down like every place else, but it's there. And one day, he'll come back, and they'll have to listen to him when he comes back. So it's our duty. No one else would do it for us. Knowledge brings responsibility. That's the reason I think a lot of people step into this book. This book is where we get our knowledge of God, and knowledge of this book brings responsibility to you and I. And God set forth, the more we know, the more is required. It's our duty. No one else will ever do it for us. God gives the church these instructions. We must obey God rather than man. What is truth then? I start part one and finish this morning. Truth is everything that this Bible says. So, preacher, that's the reason we don't agree, because I don't believe that everything that Bible God said, because I'm showing some mistakes in it. In your eyes, they may be, but in God's eyes, there's not. It's exactly like he wanted it. He's preserved it for our day. And sometimes you find that there can be typographical errors and so forth, I guess. Any time that happens, we see that happen in our textbooks once in a while. But But I'll tell you, what God inspired to begin with was right, correct. It was absolutely correct. And so everything in this Bible is truth. When God speaks, it's truth. When God speaks through a prophet, it's truth. When God speaks through His Word, it's truth. When Jesus speaks, it's truth. And when you and I, hey, you may not believe a lot of things I say when I don't read from the Scriptures. I mean, I might just talk off the wall a lot of things, but when I read this Scripture and you're hearing, you can be sure, you can mark it down. You're hearing what God said. When we try to evaluate it and give it, you know, we get on rabbit trails sometimes to try to make it plainer. But God, when He says what He says, when He says it, is His absolute Word. And I thank God. So Jesse Ventura has knowledge about religion. And I say this, and then part one, part two next week. He has knowledge about religion. Evidently, he had a lot of that. But, ladies and gentlemen, he knows nothing about Christianity. Amen. Nothing. Stand to your feet, please. My Heavenly Father, I don't have much longer on this earth, so I guess that I know that I can stand more now, probably years ago, because I am held more accountable, Lord. And there's no way in this world I can defend the faith like God says when you see something as abrupt as this is, trying to tell the world who Jesus is and what He's doing and what Christianity is. And Lord, these people have access to the media. Thousands upon thousands of people here. No wonder so many people confused. No wonder so many people following directions that people say is the Lord and don't know the Scriptures enough that it could be to compare. Lord, I've taken word for word that was said in this illustration, this article that was given to me. I didn't see the magazine then, but I was given a copy of it to me. And dear Father, I thank You that I believe honestly in the last few weeks I've looked at this and did my best to look at the difference. And as I studied it more and more and more, then there ought to be some time. Our voice is small, but ought to be where we're at. We're not insurrections. We love this country. We're not trying to remove people in office other than the vote. But what we are trying to do is stand our ground in defense of the faith. Dear Father, sometimes we seem weak, but we have one who's more powerful than the whole world. And what few words can be said can do what God needs to be done to help us in our territory places that we might be the vessel that God could use. Instead of giving information to people to formulate in their mind what a Christian should be rather than listen to the Bible. Lord, if we decide, if we're left to ourselves to decide what Christianity is, then we're going to have as many different means of Christianity as we have people. Dear God, You gave us Your standard. You gave us how we have to be born. And this church is teaching that. We see that in what we're doing about who Jesus Christ is. And again, Brother Money has been teaching on that. Our heart's desire is for people to know who He is. Dear Father, we're not deviating from that. We're not backing down. And there's laws being passed where this won't be able to preach. I'm afraid if the Lord don't come back in a few years from now, it would be absolutely impossible to stand and preach this without some coercion somehow or another from some power saying that you're just trying to cause trouble. Heavenly Father, unless You honor what's been said today, I have no power. I have just words. But I believe this book. I believe, dear Father, that it's written for our day as much so as any day, so we would have a standard to stand on and exalt Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm so glad I see Him a little bit of who He is, God in the flesh. Help me not diminish Him and minimize Him. Help me exalt Him, because that's the Spirit of God in our hearts, desire to uplift Him, to give Him honor and glory, and then walk as a child of God, as a bondservant, not just a servant, but as a bondservant. Lord, I'd be glad when I finish the message on that to understand the difference between the two. Heavy way this morning. Help someone see who Jesus is. Holy Spirit, help exalt Him in ways that I can't do it myself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.